Welcome to Learning Matters, brought to you by Michigan Virtual. I'm Ann Thomas. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Dave Richards, the Executive Learning Strategist for Michigan Virtual. On this edition of the show, online learning is here to stay in one form or another. So what's it going to look like in 2022 and beyond? The answer to that question and more interesting information coming up next. Welcome to Learning Matters, brought to you by Michigan Virtual. I'm Ann Thomas, and I am here with my co-host, Dr. Dave Richards, the Executive Learning Strategist for Michigan Virtual. And Dr. Dave, on this edition of the show, we are going to speak with a great team of online learning experts from Michigan Virtual who are going to share their insights and their recommendations in designing high quality online learning experiences for all learners. And the reason we're going to do that, Dave, is because online learning is here to stay in some form or another, correct?
Absolutely. The reality is, especially in a post-pandemic environment, many districts, many classroom teachers are trying to navigate this transition from a traditional face-to-face environment to one where we're providing kids with a highly engaging and meaningful learning experience in an online world. So today with us, we have four experts from Michigan Virtual. And actually going to go through and do some introductions first. Then we have some questions really targeting student engagement and the realities of teaching in an online world.
And our first guest, Dr. Shannon Smith, is the Senior Director of Student Learning Services with Michigan Virtual. Dr. Shannon Smith, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell our listeners just a little bit about what you do.
So in my role, I really manage the day-to-day operations of the student learnings portion of Michigan Virtual. So I work very closely with our school partners and with many of the lovely teachers that we have joining us today.
And Adair Amok, the lead math instructor, is with Michigan Virtual, and he is joining us today. Adair, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ann. Glad to be here.
And in your role, what do you do at Michigan Virtual? We know that you're the lead math instructor, but what are your duties, Adair?
Yeah, so as the lead math instructor, I do work with students from all over the state teaching math classes. So I have about 100 to 150 students each semester from all across the state. And then I also work directly to support the other 48 math teachers in our department, many of them part-time teachers that are fully employed other places and then also work with us. So I provide them coaching and support as well as curriculum support.
And also here with us today is Katie Hansen. She is the business teacher with Michigan Virtual. Katie, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about your role at Michigan Virtual.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I'm a full-time teacher with Michigan Virtual, which means I currently have six different live courses that I work with. So I like to explain it. It's similar to face-to-face high school teachers who typically have, you know, five or six classes that they're teaching during the day. And I'm the same. I have those courses and I get to interact with my students all over the state.
And last, but certainly not least, is Corey DeGroat, part-time health and personal fitness instructor with Michigan Virtual. And we do want to point out that Corey is also a full-time, Corey, you're very busy, full-time middle school physical education instructor with the Mattawan Community Schools. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about what you do. And it's pretty interesting. You're teaching phys ed online.
Yes, thank you, Ann. It's a pleasure to be here. That is what I'm doing. I'm covering everything from nutrition to fitness to body systems and everything in between. And I think coming off a pandemic, I feel like every day is like a New Year's resolution day where everybody's super focused on fitness. And oh, my goodness, the COVID-15 turned into COVID-30. And how do we keep kids engaged? So we do that by trying to make it fun. I'm not Billy Blanks or Richard Simmons or anything like that. But I do the best I can with the material that we have. So, yeah, thank you.
And Dave, in this first segment, we're going to talk about the conditions right now in 2022. So why don't you take it away with some of the questioning for our great panel today?
Thank you, Ann. Yeah, we're going to start with Dr. Smith. And Dr. Smith, as the lead at Michigan Virtual, would you take a minute and just share with us the makeup of online learning teaching staff at Michigan Virtual, and then how Michigan Virtual is asked to provide additional support to local school districts throughout the pandemic?
Sure. We have over 300 teachers who work with us. This is like a small helping of the variety of teachers that work with Michigan Virtual. About 87% of our teaching staff is part-time. So those are teachers who are actively engaged in a traditional environment. We have school leaders, principals, and superintendents who teach with us as well. So we're really excited about the fact that there's a wide variety of educators who are interested in continuing to stay connected with students in this environment. Outside of current teachers, we have a large population of part-time teachers who are retired, and teachers who have otherwise moved on from the field. Perhaps they're stay-at-home parents, or they've decided that they want to move away from teaching full-time, but not entirely away from the career. And at Michigan Virtual, we are an educational service provider. So often we're asked to help fill gaps in students' schedules. So perhaps a student is in band and they can't fit the health class that Corey teaches into their traditional schedule in a face-to-face environment. And so they might take that health class with us in the online environment. We also offer a lot of classes that are unique and may not be available at the local district. A lot of AP courses and world language courses that we have the unique opportunity to provide. We also have found during the pandemic that a lot of students are seeking more of a full-time online option. So we have worked very closely with our school partners so that those students can remain enrolled in their local districts, but have the flexibility of an online option to meet their personal needs. Some students do it for health reasons. Some have a preference for this environment. And then I think the last gap we fill is a little less fortunate of one. Many schools are dealing with teacher shortages, and on some occasions we work with those schools to help fill that shortage until they can find a permanent teacher.
Yeah, that's a great example of the variety of students that you see coming to an online world. And Katie, a big part of that is relationships and being able to build relationships. In a traditional setting, it's pretty natural. You have a lot of different tools and resources. But how do teachers in an online environment build relationships with kids so that student engagement piece stays at a high level?
For sure, Dave. And that was one of the things I think I naively thought transitioning from a face-to-face teacher to a full-time online teacher. I thought, oh, like this is super easy. The relationship building part came pretty easily to me and was pretty organic, like you said, in a face-to-face classroom. But as online teachers, we definitely need to be much more intentional about it. So I can use a lot of the same practices that I use as a face-to-face teacher. I just have to be more intentional about how I'm doing it, right? So mm-hmm. I like to think about, how do I want my students to feel when they come into my classroom every day? Or how do I want them to feel on that first day of class? They're not going to see me because they're not walking into a physical classroom unless I make sure they're seeing me. So I post videos where my students can see right away, it's pinned in my classroom, who I am, some things about me, what some of my expectations are as their teacher, all of those things that I would share in my face-to-face classroom, I have to do it now via video or some other type of method. So they can still know that I'm a real person. There's not some robot who is grading their papers. Their work's not magically being auto-graded. So I want them to see who I am and know how I am and still be able to interact with them and invite them to interact with me too. So giving them the opportunity to do that.
And Katie, that's such a great connection because of the fact that when you are teaching in an online environment, generally you're in your home and the student is in their home. And so there's a personal relationship piece just from a natural connection virtually. So Adair, for you, you recently retired from a traditional public school system, joined Michigan Virtual in a full-time capacity. Can you share a little bit about your experience and what inspired you to continue your career in an online environment?
Sure, Dave, thanks. I was through my career of teaching and also as a curriculum and technology director in public school districts around Michigan. I worked in some of the smallest districts in our state. I worked in also some of the largest districts in our state. And I got a chance to see how some students, based on where they lived, sometimes didn't have access to curriculum and opportunities. And I really liked the fact for a long time, Michigan Virtual has been a partner that as a district leader, I could turn to get that opportunity for a student who wanted to learn a world language, but there was only two kids in their building that wanted that language, and you couldn't staff a whole section for that. As I was going through nearing the end of my time in public education, I really saw this as an opportunity to still give back and to teach. And actually, having been an administrator for a number of years, it excited me to get back to teaching K-12 students. I'd taught college students, but getting back to teaching K-12 students, and the exciting thing for me is that I can work with students across our entire state. I have students from every corner of Michigan, and I know that I'm helping bring equity to their opportunities, and that equity lens really speaks to me.
Corey, you teach in a traditional environment every day, face-to-face with students. And you're also teaching virtually, physical education, health for Michigan Virtual. How have those influenced your teaching overall, both blending the face-to-face as well as an online experience?
Well, it's a great question because I feel like in the face-to-face, which I've done for 25 years, you kind of get into routines about how you communicate. And it sometimes you get in a rut that's not real good. And I think the online learning forced me to step out of my comfort zone and find new ways to connect with kids, because when they're face to face, I can read body language, I can read gestures, I can read everything about them. But when they're online, sometimes that's tough. And so getting the right questions, probing a little bit more, finding their interests, reading their discussion questions and finding what they like. Once you do that, you have good discussions with them, you build that rapport. And then I think you can dive into the relationships. And as Katie and them talked about, once you have a relationship with a kid, oh, the doors open up, and it's truly amazing. And I told Shannon, it revigorated my teaching career. I was kind of in a stall, and these kids actually gave to me more than I could probably give to them. And that's the energy to get back in and teach and to connect. And I think that all starts with communication.
And, you know, Corey, you bring up an interesting point about relationships. So the relationship, once it's developed, it can be good online or in person. That's the point that you're making, right?
Correct. It's trust. Kids got to trust you. And they don't really know how much they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you do that by driving home questions, congratulating them on something, encouraging them on something. And then they kind of go, oh, this teacher kind of is asking me about how I did in my track meet or how I did in my recital. And then they start to open up. And I think it opens up, tears down walls, and it gets them to trust us as teachers, because they don't see us either. Right. So there's kind of like, huh, how does this work?
And this is important advice, and it kind of leads us into our next segment about giving advice and recommendations for online teaching. So we know that the first one is developing a relationship. You are listening to Learning Matters. We will continue this conversation in just a few minutes. You are listening to Learning Matters. I'm Ann Thomas. I am here with my co-host, Dr. Dave Richards, the Executive Learning Strategist for Michigan Virtual. And Dave, a great panel here today talking about online learning. It's here to stay, and this is a very important conversation because we will have advice and recommendations for teachers for online teaching. And a wonderful panel, Dr. Shannon Smith, Senior Director of Student Learning Services with Michigan Virtual, Adair Amok, the Lead Math Instructor for Michigan Virtual, Katie Hansen, the Business Teacher with Michigan Virtual, and Corey DeGroat, Corey DeGroot. He is the part-time health and personal fitness instructor with Michigan Virtual, and he's also full-time middle school physical education instructor with the Mattawan Community Schools. And Corey, we talked a little bit about pronouncing the name. Of course, I would say it wrong. It used to be DeGroot, but now, in the past few years, it's been changed over to DeGroot. So you probably deep down don't mind either way.
No, and that was an interesting table discussion at Christmas with my parents. So we've been pronouncing our name wrong for 45 years.
Well, I'm going to turn this now over to Dr. Dave Richards, and he is going to continue this discussion with our panel talking about advice and recommendations for online teaching. So, Dave.
During the first segment, we talked quite a bit about the importance of relationships with students, whether it's face-to-face or an online environment. Adair, you've been in both public schools and also an online experience. Can you talk a little bit about the power of engagement in teaching in an online environment? What are some strategies, some tips and tricks that you would offer to our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting students to engage in the online environment can be one of the bigger challenges. In a face-to-face school, the student's walking in and they have to look you in the face every day. And sometimes you can get them to turn something in because they have to walk past your desk. It's easy for them to just not log in on the computer. So we do a lot of proactive things, particularly at the beginning of the semester, or if we see a student start to drop out throughout the semester. Katie mentioned already putting some welcomes. We make sure we have nice big welcome videos. We send a welcome email to both the student and their families. Early in the semester, letting them know who we are. It's really important that they know that there's a real person that is looking out for them, that's looking over their work, that cares about them. Really, that it's important for them to know that. And just like in any situation, we'll have some students who jump right in. They just start diving through the curriculum, submitting quizzes and tests. They just want to get it done. And then we have those who hold back. And we kind of have to watch for both, because sometimes just because a student's moving quickly doesn't mean they're engaged. Sometimes they're just trying to check things off a list. And so our job can be to identify those warning signs and slow students down as well. But anytime we can connect, phone calls, texts, emails, we want them to know that we're there and that we're watching out for them and that we really care about their success.
Well, it's interesting because part of the student's success is also that profile of an online learner. Katie, can you talk a little bit about some characteristics that you've seen are for students to be successful in an online environment?
Definitely, Dave. I feel like I have my top three characteristics that if students don't already have when they come to us, I hope I'm helping them develop when they're with us. So those top three would probably be good time management skills, self-motivation, and good communication skills. So like Adair just said, that whole self-motivation part, they're not going to see me every day. So again, if they see me and they're coming into my physical room, that's a little bit of a different interaction. So although I'm going to have to be more intentional about communicating, these students are going to have to learn how to do that too, and how to communicate in a different way than they may be used to communicating with their teachers.
And, you know, taking this to the next level, when you think about teaching physical education in an online environment, Corey, how do you manage the relationship piece, the student engagement piece, teaching physical education? Help us understand how that works.
Great question, because for the last 2 years, when I told people I was a physical education teacher, they kind of look at you and go, how are you doing that online? And I say, great question. So what we had to do is, if I can use educational jargon, what we did is we tried to remove constraints. So we tried to remove excuses, okay? And by doing that, we had to give them the opportunity to exercise with minimal equipment and minimal space. So it was time to start, you know, looking at ways to use laundry detergent bottles to do squats, line jumps. And as this evolved, kids started to make their own fitness plan, and then they started to own it. And when kids take ownership in their fitness, for a phys ed teacher, that's about as good as it gets. But it was just a continual effort to get them to think outside the box. Dance Dance Revolution. We had to blow the dust off the Wii and get out and start playing the Wii. You know, we incorporate technology. Some people think technology and fitness don't go hand in hand because they visualize kids playing video games. Well, you can use technology in a very beneficial way and kids love it. So instead of fighting them with technology, we find ways to camouflage workouts using technology, and it's a win-win. They've got a smile on their face. We're excited. Their heart rate's elevated. And I always joke with them. I tell them, you know, when you're playing a game and you're sitting down and you're getting excited and your heart rate goes through the roof, that's not the heart rate elevation we're looking for. We're looking for the elevation heart rate when you actually are moving physically and getting that heart into the target zone. So we had to be creative, but we found ways to do that.
Quick question here. How do you engage the student that often has trouble engaging? You know, what do you do with that student? Let me start with Dr. Shannon Smith. You know, a student maybe that is challenged in person. What kind of techniques can you use online with that student, Dr. Smith?
I think the first step is to make sure that you're engaging the adults that care about that child and have a personal connection, in-person connection with that child. So that's where you utilize those connections you've made with parents and guardians, but also in Michigan virtual world, in our online world, we have a mentor at the local school. So our school partners are required to have a school mentor. So that is somebody who's physically on premises. And so that's the person that I would tap on the, through email would say, hey, can you reach out to this child? They have the ability to go to the lunchroom and say, hey, Corey, I need to speak with you for a moment. I've been talking to your online teacher. So that's one of the luxuries we have at Michigan Virtual. But also really engaging parents is really helpful in trying to connect with those students who are struggling to engage.
And, you know, Adair, I see you shaking your head. I mean, as a math teacher, you have to be engaged to learn math. I mean, the lesson one day is directly connected to the lesson the next day. So talk a little bit about some of the skills that you use to engage a student that might be somewhat challenged.
Yeah, so in each of our assignments, as students are turning in work, we take extra special care to put feedback on each of those assignments. So we really take the time not just to put a score on it and move on. We really want them to hear our teacher voice coming through and guiding them as they make their mistakes. We want to help them correct their mistakes. As they're successful, we want to celebrate the success. And I think one of the other things is that online learning flips us on our head sometimes. And the students we think would be challenging and not want to communicate in a traditional face-to-face are the first ones who want to talk in digital because they feel safe in that online environment where they may not in a physical classroom.
And Katie, chime in here on that too. What are your thoughts on this?
I was actually going to agree with Adair. I feel like a lot of times students who might not be as likely to participate in a face-to-face classroom feel safer online. So giving them the opportunity to communicate just via text sometimes or to communicate via Zoom but with their camera off gives them a little more confidence in being able to talk through maybe a difficult problem that they're having or to share, even sharing those successes. So it just gives them an opportunity to share in ways that they don't always get in their face-to-face classrooms.
Now let's turn it a little bit and look at the teachers, helping teachers teach online, which I know all of you are experts with. So you're going to have teachers that are really into this and think it's interesting, they're good with technology, and they're just all over this. You're going to have other teachers who maybe they want to be into it, but they're a little bit nervous. I mean, the technology is new to them. So how do you help teachers teach online? And I'm going to start with Corey on this. What's some advice that you have, Corey, for teachers?
To be honest with you, I use the same strategy I do with my students. I think you have to go slow, and you've got a wide range. I mean, you've got teachers that are comfortable doing grades in the old school grade book with pen and paper. And you have the younger, savvy generation of teachers who are extremely tech savvy. But I think you have to start slow. Expanding their horizons as far as different ways they can get lessons across to kids and trusting it. I think just in my building here at the middle school at Mattawan, we've noticed that some teachers that were kind of, as I talked about earlier, kind of in that rut of just kind of showing up for work every day and punching in and punching out, to where they they finally let go of the reins and allowed the kids to kind of take control of it. And then they kind of jumped in and started getting involved in group discussions. And it's, the learning has exploded, and allowing the teachers to trust the system in place and trust the technology that we have, the new learning ways, has really rejuvenated their learning as well.
You are listening to Learning Matters. The great conversation on this subject will continue in just a few minutes. Dr. Dave Richards, Executive Learning Strategist for Michigan Virtual and my co-host here at Learning Matters. Really fascinating conversation today with our roundtable from Michigan Virtual, talking about the future of learning. And we've learned an awful lot during this pandemic, and we know we're never going back to the way that we taught and learned before. So let's talk to this panel now a little bit about the future of learning. And on this panel today, we have Dr. Shannon Smith, we have Adair Almach, we have Katie Hansen, we have Corey DeGroot. And Dave, I'm going to have you take it away to take us into the future.
Thank you, Ann. Dr. Smith, I'd like to start with you and just talking through the future of learning. You have many years of experience, both traditional as well as face-to-face, and you have certainly navigated the pandemic, supporting school districts from across the state. What's your prediction? What's your lens on where do we go from here with learning?
I really feel like, Dave, there's a desire for more personalized learning for students, and that can take a variety of shapes. I mean, we talk in education about, project-based learning. We talk about just a variety of different ways that students need to engage with what they are going to be learning and applying to their future careers. And so I think that we really need to consider all the options that are ahead of us or around us, and use what we learned during the pandemic to spark the growth and of opportunities, having flexible options for our students, having them be part of the discussion in planning for the future. I think educators need to embrace what they learned and what they harnessed during the pandemic, and explore more hybrid options in their classrooms. And we need to embrace teachers' versatility and the ways that they were able to connect with students and be able to utilize that moving forward.
And Katie, as advice to traditional teachers, and I've talked with many who have said, you know, I've always been very successful in this traditional face-to-face environment. Now I'm being asked to shift over to an online, and it's pretty challenging for me. What advice would you give to help teachers be successful, knowing that they have to be able to adjust between each model almost daily?
I think just being confident and knowing that what you do as a face-to-face teacher can translate to what you do online. At the end of the day, we keep going back to the same theme of relationship. So as long as my students know I care, they're going to care about what I'm teaching them. And I can do that whether I'm teaching online or whether I'm teaching face-to-face.
And Adair, for you, with the experiences that you've had working with districts at a large scale and basis, what would you recommend in regards to professional learning experiences? How do we set teachers up for success going forward?
Yeah, it's really important to remember, as we're looking at online learning, it's really about helping our teachers learn to navigate our students' world, as opposed to helping our students navigate our world. So we really need to help our teachers become more familiar with the technologies that our students are already very familiar with, because if we can connect with them, that builds those relationships. So using our tools to build that online community, our students a lot of times are more comfortable with digital friendships and those virtual environments and worlds than we are, and helping our teachers have those experiences using those tools amongst teachers. So doing professional development virtually so that they experience an online class as a student will help them become a better teacher in those online environments as well.
And it's interesting. It seems like a lot of districts are really struggling with, how do I change the system? And we often start with what we know. We often try to go back to that traditional model and almost drag it forward. And understanding that there's no going back, we've all agreed to that. This is a new normal. How do we embrace it and adapt to it? Corey, as you think about it, you're in a traditional environment. You also teach in an online environment. What thoughts do you have on those new models and how districts can embrace a new system to support learning?
Well, I'm also a coach, and there's a term that goes around all the time that say that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that's a term that teachers need to get familiar with, because as a phys ed teacher, what I'm trying to do is break stereotypes. I think if I were to say phys ed to you guys, your mind would instantly go back to the mile run and dodgeball. You'd be like, I have horrible memories of fitness class. I don't want that. I don't want you thinking about the mile run. I don't want you thinking about the gawky shorts you had to wear and what you looked like when you were a teenager. I want it to be fun. I want it to be energetic. You know, good fitness instructors are not the Eeyores of the room. They're the ones that are full of energy. They're enthusiastic. They find creative ways to use technology. We've got Fitbits. We've got the watches. We've got computer programs. We've got a lot of different ways to teach them to be cooperative. And I think within that, they can learn some life skills, inclusion, empathy, understanding, appreciation, being comfortable in your own skin. Don't compare yourself to someone next to you. Be you. Be you in your fitness. And that's what we want to try to do. Get kids to be comfortable, not worrying about the mile run and not worrying about dodgeball.
It's interesting because we talk about personalizing learning. In order to do that, you know, we're really looking to the classroom teacher and saying, can you design for every child every day? And the question I would have for you as a group to think about, and Dr. Smith, if you don't mind, I'd like to have you respond first. Is it feasible, truly realistic, for us to design learning for every child every day, given that we have all these resources, we have access to technology, we have bandwidth, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, and devices at a higher level than we've ever had before. Can we personalize learning and design for every child, Dr. Smith?
I believe we can. I think we need to make sure that we're properly preparing our teachers to do so. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the challenges that we encountered in the pandemic, was that teachers were being asked to move entirely online without having the time or the learning necessary in order to do it in a way that felt comfortable to them, that didn't feel like a push. And teachers did an amazing job in that transition, given that they had so little preparation for what needed to happen in such a short time. But really, Dave, I feel like the key part of that solution and challenge is providing the professional development that teachers need to be able to support students in the variety of needs and personalization that they are going to have.
And building upon that, Katie, if you're in the classroom teacher role, what would be your ask of your administration as you think about, these are the trainings, this is the quality professional learning that I would like to have exposure to help me be equipped and prepared to teach in this new environment?
I think, kind of adding on to what Shannon was just saying, just the importance of getting that training, right? If you want me to teach online and I've never taught online and I have no training, then I'm not going to be able to be comfortable doing that. So, which is a big difference between us Michigan virtual teachers, is we get, you know, intensive training before we start our classes. So I think just making sure that training is available, and how to use the tools or how to use the LMS systems that they want to use. So those teachers feel comfortable, because without any training, then, fair enough, they're going to feel uncomfortable with trying to teach students if they don't understand what the programs are that can help them.
And Adair, as you talk with teachers and colleagues, what's your pep talk? What's your speech that you give others hope about what the future of learning looks like, so that people really want to be a part of this and get excited about it?
So the biggest thing is that we lived through a huge scale experiment where we were all thrown into the middle of it and we MacGyvered solutions. And in many cases, we found thousands of ways not to make a light bulb. but we would be doing a disservice to every person who invested so much time and energy over the last 2 years helping our students if we didn't lift the lessons and the positives out of this. And what an opportunity to say, who did this work for? What new solutions did we find that we never even knew were right at our fingertips? How many teachers now are fluent in Zoom meetings and Google Classrooms that never would have even known those tools existed? So it's a great opportunity to pull forward the lessons learned, wipe off those bruises, and use those tools to even further engage our students that are digital natives looking for those kinds of connections.
And Dr. Dave Richards, in the minute that we have left, as Michigan Virtual employees, what do you need from the state of Michigan for successful online teaching and learning?
Well, it's interesting. I feel like as a state, we've almost gone through a little bit of a boomerang where people want to run back to what they used to know. And that includes our legislators, where some are saying face-to-face only, that's the only model for success. And I think what we need is the opportunity to show the proof of concept on what high quality online learning looks like. Michigan Virtual obviously is the best example that we have, simply because the model really stays human-centered. It's all about the focus between relationships with adults, the on-site mentor, as well as the classroom teacher, the virtual teacher, and the students. So I think the flexibility and time, and then also looking at this and saying, there's a tremendous opportunity, a window of opportunity right now to redesign learning.
Dr. Dave Richards, Dr. Shannon Smith, Adair Alma, Katie Hansen, and Corey DeGroote, thank you so much for your time today. It was great to meet all of you and listen to your wonderful advice. And you've been listening to Learning Matters, brought to you by Michigan Virtual. On behalf of my co-host, Dr. Dave Richards, I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.